This morning we celebrate the feast of St. Calixtus. When we think of the early church, when we look at the history of the early church, we know we identify exactly the church that Jesus Christ founded. Contrary to what many Protestants believe today, that Jesus came on earth, and then there were some books written about him called the New Testament, put together into what's called the Bible. And all that there is left now for the Christians to do is walk around with their Bibles and quote this and quote that, and everyone figure it out for themselves. But that is not the church that Christ founded. Jesus founded a teaching church. Jesus established in his church a hierarchy. Jesus established in St. Peter the papacy, the supreme authority within the church. Thou art Peter, Jesus said, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. We also know that our Lord commissioned all the apostles, go teach all nations, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. So when I speak to those who are not Catholic and we discuss what is the true Church of Christ, I always ask the question, what was the church like after the apostles? Was it a bunch of Christians toting around Bibles and trying to quote from Scripture? Or was it a teaching church made up of Pope and bishops and priests and deacons? Well, we can very easily, amongst many, many proofs, we can go to the catacombs. The catacombs were the places where the early Christians hid during time of persecution. On the Via Appia, the Appian Way, south of Rome, there is the catacombs of St. Calixtus. This is the place where many of the early popes were buried. This is the place where St. Cecilia was buried. And what's beautiful about our Catholic faith is this. When we look at the early church, their faith is our faith. Their Mass is our Mass. Their seven sacraments are our seven sacraments. And we are continuing today that very faith and that very church that Christ established, that the apostles preached. And St. Calixtus is a wonderful proof, a pope and a martyr. The catacombs of St. Calixtus also was the burial place of St. Tarsicius, the martyr of the Holy Eucharist, defending the Blessed Sacrament. Just an acolyte, just a server. I was mentioning about St. Cecilia. You know, among the many things that we have, and our many proofs, we have the wonderful phenomenon of the incorrupt bodies of the saints, and St. Cecilia is one of them. St. Cecilia was a beautiful, noble Roman woman, very wealthy. And she preserved her virginity, and when she buried two Christians, she was accused of being a Christian herself, and because of her nobility and her beauty, they sent Roman soldiers to her home to put her to death there, not to make a scene. They tried suffocating her, and it didn't work, and the executioner then raised his sword to strike off her head. Roman law would have it that after the third strike, if you didn't sever the head, you could no longer strike. His arm trembled at the thought of cutting off the head of someone so noble, so beautiful, and thus he struck incorrectly and only partially severed her neck. He left her to die bleeding. But the amazing thing is this. Some 1,300 years later, when they were going to take her body and put it into a very beautiful marble altar, they opened up the sarcophagus where she was at, and the original cedar wood coffin where she was laid was still intact. In opening up the coffin, they found Saint Cecilia intact, as if she were just sleeping there. An incorrupt body after 1,300 years. It was so spectacular a miracle that many cardinals and even the Pope himself witnessed it, and then for 1 month, the people of Rome could come in procession and view her body. Cardinal Baronius, who is overseeing this undertaking, before they closed the coffin and deposited her in her place of honor in the basilica, he wanted to get a little snip of her dress. And so he took her dress, and as he was getting a snip of it, he realized there was something underneath, and he pulled back just a little bit. He can see that Saint Cecilia had a hair shirt under her beautiful dress. But Saint Cecilia was laying there in the exact position where she died. One of her hands had three fingers sticking out, and the other hand had one. One God, three divine persons. She was professing her Catholic faith even to her last, her dying moments. But when we think of the martyrs, we are reminded of the beautiful saying that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of Christianity. The more the Roman emperors persecuted the Christians, the more the Christianity spread. The pagans were in awe. They saw this extraordinary courage. They witnessed many of the miracles that were worked on behalf of the martyrs, and this in turn converted many of them. And so it is that when we think of the martyrs and we think of the early church, we're reminded it was their blood that spread Christianity. But you know, we don't have to go very far back and to think of those dying for the faith. During this Mass, we have what's called the gramille. You'll notice that they put it on my lap. It's kind of like a covering for the vestments. That gramille was the gramille of Bishop Took. And I was very fortunate to get that from Bishop Davila, who got it from Bishop Carmona. And perhaps we don't think of these things, but not too many years ago, in Vietnam, Bishop Took's uncle and his cousin were buried alive by the communists. They would not compromise with communism. They were buried alive. I also think of in Mexico, during the early years of Bishop Carmona, the church was persecuted. Many a priest who was caught offering Mass and administering the sacraments was put to death. And this is not very far away on the other side of the world. This is right in our hemisphere, right south of us in Mexico. There were many who suffered for their faith. I remember I think it was the Basilica in Guadalajara, there were two laymen who were buried there, and they were caught printing catechisms so the children could be taught their faith. And from what I remember, I heard that their hands were cut off to mark them that this was not to happen again. We have the beautiful story of Father Michael Pro crying out, "Long live Christ the King." And what the lives of the martyrs should do for all of us is inspire us that they were willing to shed their blood for their faith, and they went straight to heaven. And let us remember this. All of us, God wants us to get to heaven and enjoy his happiness in heaven. And how important it is as we try to know, love, and serve God in this world, we should be inspired by the saints. That's the reason why there's saints on the calendar. When we look at the calendar and see the saint for the day, let's try to think of what does this saint teach me? Just like we have in the world today, people look up to many patriots and heroes for their country, soldiers who have fallen in battle. Well, we as Catholics look to the martyrs, these soldiers of Christ, boys and girls, men and women, who willingly sacrificed everything, their very life, for the love of Jesus, who, as we know, the Good Shepherd laid down his life for us sheep. We also are reminded of how many of the martyrs called upon the names of Jesus and Mary. Our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Martyrs, she stood at the foot of the cross and she suffered a martyrdom in her heart as she looked up at Jesus suffering on the cross. And so as we fight the good fight to save our souls, to get to heaven, let us remind ourselves that the price of many a martyr had to pay. I believe St. Alphonsus Liguori says in the early church there were an estimated 11 million martyrs. And some of their tortures are just absolutely mind-boggling to think of what they endured. St. Lawrence being roasted on a gridiron. St. Stephen, the proto-martyr, the first martyr, being stoned to death. And these saints were men and women, boys and girls, just like us, made of the same stuff. But what was that factor that helped them to endure these such sufferings and be so strong in the faith? It was the grace of God. And that is the reason why how important it is that all of us never underestimate our own weakness and put all of our trust and confidence in God, that we receive the sacraments, confession, Holy Eucharist, often. We attend extra masses, not just on Sunday, not just doing the bare minimum. We pray our rosaries every day. And let us remember that if we live a life of grace, when we are going through temptation or maybe even the supreme sacrifice of dying for the faith, God's grace will support us. So on this occasion of St. Calixtus, we think of his martyrdom. We wear red vestments to think of the blood, the martyr's shred. And let us remember this, how important it is that all of us be willing every day to die a dry martyrdom. We carry our cross patiently, willingly endure sufferings for our Lord and our Blessed Mother, and we look to Jesus and Mary for our strength and comfort. Jesus on the cross, hanging there for 3 long hours, and Mary standing at the foot of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.